above the planet. This is the Global Star Radio Network.
Here at the Genesis Communication Network, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and, well, they would have been the views of General Curry. We've got General Curry there.
Good morning, or afternoon, rather.
Hi, how are you, General? Thank you so very much for being with us.
I'm super.
Well, I really enjoyed reading your book. You're about 3 years younger than I am. I was born in 29. You were born in 32. And so we both lived through the Depression, the Great, the Second World War. But you've had a fascinating life in the military, and certainly as a colored officer, and at a time when the Army was still segregated, it must have been really very, very difficult, and yet... of course, you were able to rise to the rank of general simply because you worked hard, and as your mother told you, you work hard, excel, and you'll get ahead.
Yeah, it seems like it's a big deal today in this generation, the idea of working hard and excelling. Yeah, I grew up in Western Pennsylvania. I'm sitting out there on the farm and joined the Boy Scouts and decided I'd like to be an Eagle Scout, and they said, hey, you can't do that. And I said, why not? They said, well... there are no black Eagle Scouts in Western Pennsylvania, and never have been one, and there's not going to be one, probably. So I said, okay, can I work at it? And they said, yeah. So 4 or 5 years later, I complete all my stuff, and I'm ready now to have the pen. Put on me, and this is a big whoop-de-doo. Once a year, the Boy Scouts have a banquet in a local hotel. Everybody comes out, and it's the newspapers are there, that sort of thing. And I get a call, and they said, now, we got a little minor problem here. I said, what's the problem? He said, well, you know, the hotel is segregated. And because it's segregated, they have never had a black family come to that hotel. We can't do that. Now, we can have the banquet and have a great time. We can mention your name, put you in the program, but you can't be there to get pinned. And your family can't come to watch it. And at this time, the Boy Scout Council rebelled. And these were all white folks. And this is back before you could spell NAACP. And we didn't have CNN and all that stuff. And so these white folks, all by themselves, under no pressure from anybody, they went to see the hotel manager and they said, look, this kid is an Eagle Scout. We always have the banquet here. We're going to pin him here. And if we can't do it here, we're going to boycott your hotel. And we're going to visit every business in town and ask them to boycott your hotel.
And that's what, that certainly gets a reaction, didn't it?
Well, the manager had an epiphany. We not only went in and they treated us royally and not only pinned the pin on me, but the manager and the town fathers as of that day declared the hotel integrated. This is before the 1960s. And so the result of that little thing, these white folks, with none of the pressure that Obama's pastor is talking about, Pastor Wright, Obama's the white folks I had in my town went and did what was right. It was the right thing to do, and it paid off for them in the long term.
It sure did. And, of course, the thing is that most people are good people. There's just a few out there that are really a racist. But anyway, of course, you were able to overcome all of the obstacles, and then, of course, through your exemplary service, eventually were promoted to the ranks of the military. And, of course, you start out your story really with a fascinating story about what happened in Vietnam. And then, of course, you take us into your soul story of your life. And we got to get to the end of the book before we begin to find out about what happened in Vietnam. So when we get back here in just a moment, we'll have General Curry tell us about that. And certainly his remarkable life rising from private as an enlisted man all the way up to a major general. We'll be right back here. The book, From Private to General.
Now you can enjoy the most delicious, freshest, and healthiest drinking water anytime. Even while traveling, during outdoor sporting activities, and in hospital filtration environments such as local or national emergencies, the revolutionary Berkey Light removes pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful or unwanted chemicals to below detectable levels. It also removes foul tastes and odors like that rotten egg smell of sulfide, and it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving in the healthful and nutritional minerals your body needs. The Berkey Light is so powerful it can purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes, streams, and stagnant ponds. The Berkey Light is transparent and glows in the dark with its rechargeable LED lighting system, so it can be used as a night light or camp light.
Get the Berkey Light Purifier for only $279. Call New Millennium, 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
You're tired, irritable, emotional, and not sleeping well. Well, you've heard the saying, take a pill. Well, now you can, and I want to send you a free 30-day supply of my new vitamin supplement called Good Days, designed to support positive mood and emotional well-being, along with clarity of thinking, increased energy, better health and disease prevention, and even a better night's sleep. I'm Lucinda Bassett, founder of the Midwest Center for Stress and Anxiety. You can feel better, and Good Days can help. Unlike most supplements, these wonderful new vitamins were designed to support physical and emotional good health with natural herbs and botanicals. I'm so certain that you'll love this new supplement, I want to send you a free 30-day supply right now. Come on, feel good. Be happy. Make Good Days part of your good life. Call now.
Find out how to improve your mood with this free 30-day supply. Call 800-956-3672. 800-956-3672. 800-956-3672. 800-956-3672.
Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network. Our guest is General Curry, and we're certainly talking about his book, From Private to General. And certainly, the book really tells the story of his life, where he was stationed, and all of the amazing things that really happened to him, the adventures he had as a young officer, and then going up through the ranks. But, of course, the book starts with what happened in Vietnam. And would you like to tell a little bit about that story? Because that was really a gripping story.
Well, it was one of those experiences you never forget. We had a captain named Larry McNamara, and Larry was leading a group of 40 South Vietnamese soldiers, and they were off in the jungle. This is in the highlands of South Vietnam. And they were off in the jungle, and they're surrounded about 5-1 by the North Vietnamese army. And they're on a little bit of a hill. It's just now getting dark, and they're trying to figure out how to get out of there. My headquarters is, at least 10 miles away, and we're trying to figure out how to get them in. It's too late to get helicopters in. You can't land helicopters in a jungle at night. And so We thought about it, and I didn't have the answers to that. I didn't pretend I did. But I went out and prayed about it a lot out in the jungle clearing, and then I thought, I said, you know, I think I know how to do this. So I came back in, I said, guys, we're going to plot a horseshoe-shaped wall of fire, artillery fire, around their position, and then we're going to leave one end of that horseshoe open. We're going to fire. The enemy will be very confused and disorganized, and then they can fight their way out of the open end. That wasn't a bad solution, the guys thought. The problem was, we didn't know the exact location of Larry and his men, and if we fired blind, chances are we'd kill them. And then, of course, you know there'd be a series of stories in all the newspapers in the United States about friendly fire deaths and this lieutenant colonel who had ordered his men killed. But we had a choice. I could either do it or I could not do it, and they'd all get killed for sure. So I decided, let's go for it. We did. We fired. But in order to do that, I had to tell them which end of the horseshoe was open, and there was no way to do that. We couldn't send it by code. They couldn't turn on flashlights. This fighting, by the way, is not the kind you see in the movie. The distance on this fighting is about 25 feet, so you're close to your work. And I knew I had to be able to tell them in the clear. I knew the North Vietnamese were listening, and they could tell what I was saying, so I couldn't fool them. And I prayed about that also, and I said, you know what, I know how to do this. So I called Larry up, and I said, Larry, we're going to fire the horseshoe-shaped fire around you. We're going to leave one end open. And I said, it's the end. That is the direction that the star in the east came from when Jesus was born. And he says, I got it. We fired, by the way. We had to wait about 8 hours before we knew what had happened to them. We couldn't have any radio contact. They were right in the middle of the enemy. And about 8 hours later, they came out of the jungle down at a river that we were waiting for them to cross, a rope bridge coming across the river. And all 40 of those guys, including Larry himself, got out of there in one piece.
Well, of course, sometimes you just have to improvise. But, of course, you know, I was impressed by the fact that you were looking to the Lord for guidance. Because sometimes we really don't know what to do, and we really need to realize that the Lord does care. And I thought that was one of the most significant parts of the story, that you actually got down and prayed and asked for guidance as to what to do.
Absolutely. I'm not ashamed of that for one second. I was out of everything. I didn't have a clue as to how to do that thing. And I knew that if the Lord didn't personally intervene and show us how to do it, we weren't going to get it done.
Well, of course, I assume which side of the horse was open, east or west?
The east side.
East side, okay. So anyway, that's the way they fought their way out, and they were able then to get down to the river. And so certainly, how long were you in combat there in Vietnam?
2 years.
Well, it certainly must have been a difficult time, especially as you point out that we were giving sanctuary to the North Vietnamese military, where they were allowing them to go into Laos and Cambodia and violation of the international laws. But it seems that our leaders were intent upon letting them do these things, which of course made it extremely difficult for our military, because we weren't supposed to be attacking them when they were in Laos and Cambodia. So we were giving our enemies sort of a free ticket.
Yeah, and that's exactly what happened. That's always what happens when Congress gets involved. You've got to have the decisions made on the ground by the warriors on the ground. You can't have them made back here in Washington and even in the Pentagon. You need to be made up front. You know, nobody would have stood for a second for Washington to be telling General Eisenhower and General Patton what to do on the ground over there in Germany. They turned them loose. They let them go. They gave them clear directions. And then they watched them win victory after victory.
Well, of course, this is the tragedy, I think, that we're seeing in Iraq today, is that I've certainly read, I don't know if you've read, General Ricardo Sanchez's the remarks. He was the commander over there for a year, and he just said, we're not allowed to win the war. I mean, every barrier is put in our way.
That's exactly where it is. And, you know, we've got to understand this as Americans, that once you put people in harm's way where you know they can be killed, they deserve every single benefit. They shouldn't have to reach in their pocket and pull out a book and say, let's see, the guy who shot at me was left-handed, therefore I have to shoot at him left-handed.
Right.
That's the kind of foolishness going on over there.
Amen to that. Well, of course, I hope a lot of our general officers really realize what's going on and will bring pressure to bear as much as they can to try to get that situation, which almost 6 years we've been over there in Iraq. And are you completely out of the military now? Are you retired?
Yes, I'm out and retired.
All right, fine. How long have you been retired?
Oh, Lord, 20 years.
Oh, okay. So you've had lots of time. Well, your book is really beautifully written. It's very inspiring. And did you have anybody help you with it? Did you do that all on your own?
No, Father. That's my own little fingers on the keyboard. The way it happened that I got the book published was kind of a miracle. I had made notes over the years and said, someday I'll write a book like everybody does. Everybody goes to combat, comes home and says, someday I'll write a book. Of course, I never got around to writing a book, but I said I was going to do it, and I did have some notes. I had them tucked away in different places throughout the house. One day, the phone rings, and it's about 6 o'clock at night, somewhere around there, and there's this lovely lady on the phone. She talks to me a little bit. She says, you remember me? And I said, yeah. I said, about 2 or 3 years ago, you attended a Bible study I was at. And she said, yes. She says, well, I'm a book publisher. And I would like to come out and talk to you about your book. And I said, I don't have a book. She said, you're going to have a book, and I'd like to come talk to you. And so she came out, and she said, listen, I want you and your wife each to write a separate book, autobiography, on your lives, and I will publish both books at the same time. That's exactly what we did. We both wrote books. My wife's book's called The General's Lady. We published them, and they both won the Independent Publisher Award book seals for last year. So we were very pleased with the way things came out with that.
Well, I think you can justifiably be proud of the book because it's well done, nicely put together. But more than that, it's very, very readable, and really it's sort of inspiring as far as I was concerned, and I think a lot of our listeners would enjoy it. How can they get copies of the book? Where are they available?
The easiest way to do it is to go to one of three places. Either go to Borders or Barnes & Noble, and there you'll have to order it, but the turnaround time is 2 to 3 days if you order it. The other way is to go to Amazon.com, of course, and just click on books, and then you type in the name of the book from Private to General, or my wife's book, The General's Lady. Pops right up, and then you order it, and they have a scandalous discount on it.
I know they do. Well, that's all right. It makes it hard for private people to compete with them, but that's what Amazon's all about. That's why they really do such a good job. In fact, we actually have our own web page with Amazon where we sell books of not necessarily my book, but other books that we have available here. And it's amazing the response we get. We get responses. Maybe 20 or 25 responses on a weekend from all over the world. So I think you're lucky that Amazon's carrying your book.
Yes, and I'm thankful.
Well, General, certainly as you look back on your military career, do you think that this would be a good thing for young people to think about, going into the military as a life adventure?
Absolutely. I recommend it very, very highly. Our nation is a great nation, and it's worth fighting for. The military is a family. It gives young people an opportunity to spread their wings under controlled conditions, conditions that will help protect them and allow them to grow into the kind of person that they really want to be. And so I recommend the military service. If I had my way, it would be universal. Everybody would serve a year or 2 years.
Well, Chris, you actually went in during the Korean War. Both you and I were a little young for the First World War, but when the Second World War, pardon me, when the Korean War came along, you volunteered. I think you were going to go over there to Korea to fight for America, and you ended up getting sent over to Germany. In fact, you were in Germany at the same time. I was a medical officer over there. I was stationed in Mainz, and certainly some of the areas you talked about were familiar to me because I was there from 53 to 55, and you were there, what, 51, 52, something like that?
Yeah, I was there 51, 52, and of course, Mainz I know very well. The wife and I have been there many, many times. The German assignment was a great assignment. I really enjoyed the people. They were good to us. They were nice to us. We learned a lot, and it helped put our family together at a time I think would have been very difficult if I had gone straight to the war.
And, of course, I think it was very interesting that when you got into the military, it was segregated. It wasn't even segregated. Was it still segregated when you went over to Germany?
Yes. We were segregated up until about 9 months into my tour over there, and I, in the book I tell how it was that the Army integrated my unit, which is very different from what we think of as integration. But essentially what it was is they just lined, the sergeants just lined us all up in ranks, and they started counting off, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, and every fourth you go back. And then they said, okay, everybody who's number four, step forward. I was number four. You step forward. He said, you are going to stay in this...
Hold that thought. We're going to have to go to a break. Talk to you.
As the old saying goes, if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. But if you give him a Berkey system, you give him the ability to obtain purified water for a lifetime. This year, when giving Christmas gifts, instead of unwanted trinkets, give a meaningful and substantial gift. Berkey systems are ideal for every member of your family, especially the young ones in college. Unlike other water filtration systems, Berkey purifiers are portable. They require no plumbing, and the elements don't have to be replaced every 4 to 6 months. Perfect for anyone on a tight budget. And more importantly, if there's an unexpected emergency, your loved ones will be prepared. That's because Berkey systems are able to purify raw, untreated water. Check out our Christmas specials at BerkeyWater.com. With one of our quantity specials, you not only get a discount, but in one stop, you can get gifts for the entire family. That's BerkeyWater.com or call 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438.
When making important financial decisions, you should always know the facts. That's why Midas Resources is willing to pay you to read the facts. Midas Resources, a team of hand-picked financial specialists with decades of financial experience who are ready to provide you with state-of-the-art, up-to-date financial services. Midas Resources offers a host of services and stands behind their products. In fact, if you call and order their free Midas report, Midas Resources will pay you. This detailed report will provide you with financial history on the safest and most profitable areas to invest in. If you read the report, Midas Resources will send you a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar. So what are you waiting for? Get the facts and call Midas Resources toll free at 888-292-2709. That's 888-292-2709. And remember, if you read the Midas report, you'll receive a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
Are the ancient prophecies being fulfilled? Are we living in the end times? Why do the Muslim nations want to destroy Israel, and why is the United States selling sophisticated military weapons to Saudi Arabia and the other Muslim countries? Why is the incidence of UFO sightings increasing, and why is that important? Well, you'll find the answer to those and many other questions in Lynn Marzulli's exciting book, Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural, because the book discusses the ancient prophecies and the supernatural force that's directing the course of world events today. You can purchase Lynn's book at www.spiraloflife.com. That's spiraloflife.com. And if you read Lynn's book, you'll never look at the world through the same eyes again. Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and certainly our guest is General Curry, and we're talking about his book, From Private to General. Fascinating overview, of course, his life in the military, coming into a segregated military, and then he was just telling us, I guess it was about 1952, was before Truman went out of office. President Truman signed an order that said the military will be integrated. And, of course, in the military, when the commander-in-chief says something, that's the way it is. And, of course, it should have been integrated long before that. The government had taken the leadership, you know, as far as this was concerned, instead of, you know, using the force of law. If it had simply integrated its own facilities, why, of course, this foolishness would have stopped a long time ago. But anyway, of course, as the general was saying, they had everybody count off 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, and everybody was a four-step forward, and they were the ones who stayed in their unit, and, of course, everybody else was transferred to a white unit, and it worked pretty easily, didn't it, pretty smoothly?
Yeah, we didn't know any different. You know, the military doesn't know the difference. We knew that when we had orders from our officers, our sergeants, and they said, this is the way we're going to do it. We saluted, said, yes, sir, and that's what we did.
Well, it's a shame they didn't do it, you know, 50 years earlier, but that's neither here nor there. Anyway, of course, certainly General Curry certainly was able to actually advance through the ranks. But you had to go off and get your own education. How did that work?
Well, you know, there's always a new challenge waiting out there for those of us who want to accept them. I finally got off Officer Canada School, and you know, in those days they didn't have very many black folks who went to Officer Canada School. I went off Officer Canada School, got my commission, second lieutenant, infantry. I was so proud of that gold bar that I was wearing, and they said, we're only going to give you a temporary commission, a reserve commission, they called it. They said the regular Army commissions are reserved for people like the West Point graduates, and you can't have one of those because you're just a high school graduate. If you want to go to night school and get a degree, that's fine, but you're not going to be a regular officer. So I went to night school for 7-8 years, I guess. At the end of that time, I got my degree. I felt so pleased about it. University of Nebraska, by the way. A degree in history and foreign languages. And so I'm really pleased with this. I go back to the Army with my happy little degree, and the Army says, you know, congratulations. You've done a great job. We're very happy for you. They gave me my regular commission, by the way. They said, oh, while you were going to night school, you don't know it, but we changed the goalposts. And I said, how's that? They said, well, while you were going to night school and paying your own way at night, your contemporaries, we sent them off to get master's degrees at government expense. So they're one degree up on you. And while you now are a regular officer, you're never going to be a general. So back to night school I go, 2 or 3 years, 4 years, whatever it is. Finish night school, get a master's degree from Boston University, and I come back, and I'm really proud now, and they said, well, there's not a little problem here. And I said, what's the little problem? They said, you're an ex-enlisted man. You're African-American. Those kinds of folks never get promoted to general, so you're never going to be a general. So you can forget about that. Well, time went on, 3, 4, 5 years. I worked hard, did all things I was supposed to do, and guess what? One day they finally pinned the star on me, and I was a brigadier general. One of the happiest days of my life.
And you retired as a major general?
The 2 stars, yeah, major general.
Right, well, I think it's an amazing accomplishment, and it just goes to show what hard work can do. And, of course, this really is one of the few countries in the world where you can actually do that. You know, it doesn't matter necessarily who you know. Of course, if you know people, why sometimes you can get pushed up through the ranks, in whether it would be in business or certainly education or certainly in the military, but even if you don't know anybody, if you just work hard and you know, and do what you're supposed to, why, you can accomplish great and marvelous things. And that's really the greatest thing about America, at least it has been in the past.
Yeah, I think so. You know, we have to understand that life is not fair. It's never been fair. It's never going to be fair. And if you think that just because your skin is white, you're going to be successful, you're wrong. Some guy like me will come along and knock you off. So you got to be paying attention. You got to work hard and do the best you can. You got to play the cards you're dealt. Our success is not determined by where we started in life or in the race. It's by when, where, and how we cross the finish line.
And didn't you get a lot of good advice from your dad?
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah. And my dad told me always, he said, son, no matter how late it is, it's never too late to do what's right.
Give us a call, 1-800-259-5791.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Through the years of providing water filters to America, you've come to us and we've listened. You asked us to make the water level visible to eliminate the guesswork when refilling the water. We listened. You asked for an elevated base so the system could be used in places beside on the edge of the counter. We listened. You asked us to develop a filter that was made in the USA. We listened. You asked us to include an emergency light for camping and during power outages. We listened. After 9/11, you asked us to develop a filter that was more powerful in removing chemical agents. Again, we listened. Introducing the Berkey Light, the gravity filter requested by America, designed by Americans, and made in America.
Get the Berkey Light, the American water purifier, only $279. Call New Millennium, 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
Since the year 2000, earthquakes, heat waves, droughts, tsunamis, floods, fires, and hurricanes have killed over 1 million people worldwide and forced tens of millions to go without food and water. After Katrina, the media was eager to show victims in New Orleans begging for food. If a disaster strikes you and your loved ones and you have no stored food, you'll be begging as well. Now our economy is slipping into an abyss that even Donald Trump says will make the Great Depression look like a Sunday picnic. The U.S. dollar is worth less today than it was even last week. Before food prices skyrocket, trucks stop running, and stores close their doors, Survival Enterprises can help you prepare. They're master distributors of Mountain House freeze-dried food with up to a 50-year shelf life. Survival Enterprises has real butter, cheese, and bread, real beef, chicken, and turkey, all canned for long-term storage. For their website and more info, call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. And remember, if you wait until you need us, it's too late. Call now.
This is George Whitehurst Berry of the Genesis Communications Network. Have you ever wanted the truth about the economy? Crash, Are You Ready? Is the fastest growing program on GCN. Our one-hour program airs weekdays, Monday through Friday, from 10 to 11 a.m. Central Time, just after the Power Hour and just before Alex Jones. To listen to rebroadcast 24 and 7, visit our website at www.hearitonline.com and click on the appropriate link. Our unparalleled guest lineup has included patriots such as Congressman Ron Paul, Scott Ritter, former UN Chief Weapons Inspector Murray Neal, inventor of the revolutionary dragonskin body armor, and Philip Tourme, USS Liberty survivor. We also focus on alternative health and survival topics. Go to www.hearitonline.com. That's HEARITONLINE.com.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the Genesis Communication Network. Our guest is General Curry. We're talking about his book, From Private to General. From Private to General. And, of course, our telephone number is 1-800-259-5791. 1-800-259-5791. If you have a question or comment. And General, do you have a website or anything you'd like to get out in the way of a telephone number or website?
The website is Curry for America. That's one word, C-U-R-R-Y. CurryForAmerica.com.
CurryForAmerica.com. What are people going to find there?
Well, they'll find position papers, the positions I've taken on all sorts of world and government matters and national matters across the station. You'll see my calendar there, the sorts of things I'm involved with. And I think a lot of uplifting things you'll find there that will be helpful and just generally uplifting to whoever comes there.
Now, what is your take on what's going on in America today? A lot of people are very, very concerned about the situation over in the Middle East and the Near East, and they're concerned about the economics of this country, and certainly the moral values of our country seem to be changing. America, this is not the America that you and I were born in 70-some years ago. So what are your thoughts on that?
America is changing for the worse. Our problem seems to be one of leadership. And I'm not talking Republican-Democrat. I'm talking both parties across the board. The folks on Capitol Hill, for example, all of them seem to be involved in a game of political gotcha. If I can be one up on my opponent, whether he's a Democrat or whether he's a Republican, I'm going to go for that. And, boy, is that important. Let's all applaud. I really beat him on that one. They ought to be looking down the road 25 years, 50 years from now and saying, what kind of a country do I want to leave to my grandchildren, to my great-grandchildren? What kind of an America do we really want? How do we want American children to grow up, to act, to look, to think about, to talk? Those are the kinds of things we should be thinking of, and then we ought to be thinking of, okay, here's how we can all work together to make America that kind of a place. That's where we're missing it. Our leadership is out to lunch playing games, and nobody seems to be really minding the store. That's most unfortunate for all of us.
Well, I certainly agree with you. I think that the tragedy, we always like to say, we have the finest politicians back in Washington, D.C. the money can buy, and what we need are men who really are committed to our country rather than committed to their own political careers, and who will do what's right no matter what the cost, because
yes,
that's the only way things are going to improve.
That is exactly so. We have a saying here, by the way, in the nation's capital area. It says that a good politician is one who, when you buy him, he stays bought.
Right. Well, I think that, Sidney, we need to have people talking about these things, and there is more and more people who are becoming aware of what's going on. I think the Internet, Sidney, is one of the most wonderful means of communication that's ever existed. Internet radio, of course, we have alternative radio, where we have an opportunity to talk to people across America 5 hours every day. What sort of response have you gotten from people, you know, as far as your book is concerned, and as far as your views on what's going on in America today?
Very, very, very heartwarming responses. I've heard from people all over the country, and that's, well, more than that. I think we have totally heard from 50 different countries. People who are just writing in. I got one from Brazil, an email that came in and said, I just loved your book, from a Brazilian, said, enjoyed it, read it. It explains to me about America and how America is. And he said, thank you for writing the book. So we've gotten those kinds of comments for everything, everybody. I've gotten a lot from young Americans, women and men, who have said, thank you for helping me believe in my country again.
Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with our country. I think that it's simply the leadership that we have that seems to have a different agenda and isn't necessarily interested in doing what's right. I mean, when you send your soldiers off to another country to fight, why you let them win? You don't send them to a no-win war in Korea or in Vietnam or in Iraq, or you don't send people in to be slaughtered at the Bay of Pigs, and nobody's ever held responsible. That's the tragedy. Nobody's ever asked who is responsible for, you know, giving the enemy sanctuary in Vietnam, and why did we actually, you know, lose that war? There's no way we could have won that, lost that war unintentionally. We're the greatest nation in the world. Our military are the bravest, most courageous, and most effective, and we lost the war not because they lost in the battlefield. They were betrayed by the people in Washington, D.C., and the same people who betrayed our military back during the Vietnam War are people like Henry Kissinger, who is advising President Bush today and advised all subsequent presidents, even before that, all the Republicans. So, you know, how are we going to change things, General? How are we going to take America back?
Probably on our knees. Prayer is probably going to be the only way to do that. But we have to pay attention right this second, because we probably have one of the most important presidential elections in our lifetime coming up right now. The folks who are running for office, whether we understand it or not, are going to be president at a time that is going to change America probably forever.
I agree with that, but I mean, I look and see that what we've got there, and I'm not very impressed by anybody.
I don't think most Americans are. You know, of the bunch, the one I think that we have to sort of get behind is John McCain. But at the same time that we're doing that, we have to understand what we're doing. There are positions he takes, for example, that I'm just not comfortable with at all. But compared to the other two, he's head and shoulders above them.
All right. Well, of course, it's that old adage, you know, you're voting for the lesser of the two evils. I'd like to have somebody I was really enthusiastic about. I know how you feel about General. But John McCain, at least he was in the military and served there. Our telephone number is 1-800-259-5791. 1-800-259-5791. If you have a question for the general, why, we'd love to hear from you. But right now, of course, I think the general's absolutely right. You know, when I asked him what we should do, he said we're going to solve it on our knees, because what most people don't understand is this truly is a spiritual battle, and behind everything going on out there are powerful spiritual forces. And, of course, you tell that the people, their eyes usually glaze over. And of course, that is the recurrent theme, and we simply refer you to their websites. They have websites there. They will tell you who some of their supporters are. The richest people in the world are supporting them. And they have a different worldview, and they certainly have no loyalty for the United States. And I'm speaking specifically of the Lucis Trust and the various front organizations and the organizations which their members are using to control what's going on under any circumstances, General. You know, as we certainly, I believe prayer is so vitally important at the present time, but do you think God is going to, you know, bless America? When, of course, we as a people have turned against God, and we're finding so many Americans are simply turning against the Christian religion. This is one of the things that disturbs me. Studies show that so many of the young people have turned against the religion of their birth, of their families.
That, I think, is true, but there's another part of that, too. You know, the Lord says, wherever the enemy has sort of planted his flag, the Lord will raise up a standard against them. I got to tell you, I am meeting many, many young people, and women and men both, who are stronger Christians than their baby boomer parents were. Now, these people are serious about their religion. They're serious about being Christians. They're serious about prayer. They're serious about their Bible reading. I kind of think America is going to be in a lot better hands with the younger generation than with the current generation that's running things.
Well, I think you may very well be right. Certainly, many of the young people have been supporting some of the candidates. Maybe they're not there anymore, but of course, my favorite was Ron Paul, but he had tremendous support from the young people here in Santa Cruz, where I live, which is the center of Satanism. We had all sorts of young people out there with signs and all sorts of banners, you know, trying to get people to, and actually in the community where I live, which is, a center of the occult, we got a higher percentage of the Republican vote for Ron Paul than any other major county in the state of California, a few of the minor ones up, you know, where they had over Humboldt County or Shasta County, where they had about 150 Republicans in the whole county. But here in Santa Cruz, it was amazing to me to see, you know, that you see this divide. You see on one side the people who just totally gone over to the dark side, and then you're right, you do see these young people who are enthusiastic. I think that they probably are the hope of the future, because you and I are not going to be here. All we can do is try to counsel them and guide them and point them in the right direction. I think that that's pretty well what you did with your book, because you were not ashamed, of course, of your religious faith.
No, and you can't be. You know, that's part of me. I grew up that way. My mother is an ordained minister, for example. Both of my brothers are ordained ministers. My grandfather, aunts and uncles are ordained ministers. They're all members of the cloth. Been in my family for generations. I'm the black sheep in the family. I went to the military, but at least I went to seminary in between. But looking down the road, I see a bright road and a bright future for America if we get the right president in and if we get behind him and support him.
All right, fine. Well, I certainly hope and pray that we can find the right people to be our leaders. Our telephone number is 1-800-259-5791. 1-800-259-5791. If you have a question for General Curry, who enlisted as a private during the Korean War and of course, retired 20 years ago as a major general. And Sidney, his story really is one of hope and optimism, because with all the various barriers that were put up in his way, he was able to achieve a two-star general status and then retire, of course. And now, of course, he's writing and writing essays, writing books, and getting information out. Are you on speaking tours at all?
Not on a tour, but I do speaking, and I do a lot of interviews on the media.
Right. Well, of course, the people who arrange for you to be with us do an excellent job of scheduling interviews. And again, of course, the book, From Private to General, and it's available at Borders and certainly at Amazon.com. And what was that other major chain?
I've forgotten what it was.
All right, fine. Well, it's certainly one that everybody knows. You can go to your local bookstore, and any bookstore can order it. They don't necessarily need to know the publisher. They simply need to know the name and the author, and they can look that up on the Internet just exactly as I would. Well, Sidney, do you have any plans for any other books down the line?
Yeah, I'd like to write one strictly on Bible. There are some ways of how you study the Bible, how you go about looking at the Bible, how you go about understanding the Bible. Someday the Lord's going to bless me to have time to do that.
Well, I sometimes think you just have to say I'm going to do it. I know every time I've written a book, I put it off and off, and then one day I just say, well, this, I'm either going to do it now or it's never going to get done, and 6 months later or a year later, well, it's done. And of course, it's sort of, actually, a book sort of almost gives you a certain element of immortality, because long after you're gone, your book will be there and will be circulating not only in this country, but probably throughout the world. And sort of like when you write a book, it's like taking a pebble and dropping it into a pond, a smooth pond, suddenly you begin to see those ripples go out. That's really what happens when you write a book. And you never know what impact that book is going to have on the people who read it.
Yeah, that's a beautiful way of looking at it. Oh, by the way, it came to me that the Barnes & Nobles,
right,
then Borders, and then Amazon.com.
Borders, Barnes & Nobles, and Amazon.com. And there, it's an excellent book. It's very, very readable. It's something that draws you into it. And, of course, they play a little game with your emotions, because you get started in Vietnam and with this life and death situation for this unit that is trapped over there by the North Vietnamese regulars. And then, of course, they just drop them there and take you through the whole of the general's life and his career in the military. And only towards the end of the book do they bring you back to what really happened there. Well, certainly there must have been many other experiences or harrowing experiences you had when you were in Vietnam.
Oh, yeah, lots of them. I remember one of the scariest that ever took place was I was flying a helicopter, a Huey helicopter, we called them, and we had just dropped off a bunch of soldiers in a combat assault, and we had a call that came in on the emergency channel. They said, any helicopter in this area, and they gave us some coordinates. They said, we've got some Americans pinned down, and we have a lot of wounded, and can you evacuate them? So I said, yeah, I think we can do that. I talked to the crew. This is a voluntary thing. I said, you guys want to give it a shot? And they said, yeah, let's go. So we went in, and they didn't tell us that these guys were pinned down in an area where we couldn't land the helicopter. So I had to sit there and hold it at a hover about 3 feet off the ground while the soldiers threw the wounded up into on the floor of the helicopter. The bad part was that sitting over on the hill were a bunch of North Vietnamese soldiers from North Vietnam, and they were sitting there with their AK-47s using me as an aiming point in the shooting gallery, like shooting clay pigeons. Here I am just sitting there motionless, and these guys are just firing away at will. We did get out of there, by the way, but it scared the pants off me.
Well, sure it would. But, of course, it was a very courageous thing. You didn't have to go in, but, of course, that's what... Were you a lieutenant colonel at the time, or what was your rank?
I was a lieutenant colonel at the time.
How many lieutenant colonels were there actually out there flying helicopters? I would think that would be something for somebody of a lower rank.
Well, we didn't have a whole lot, but we did, it was a common occurrence to see a lieutenant colonel or a major flying helicopters.
And, of course, you were trained, not only that, you were trained as a ranger and with parachute jumps and really all of the great and remarkable things that you can learn in the military.
Yeah, I was young, and I didn't know you could get killed doing all those crazy things. So if somebody would ask for, I'd volunteer, raise man. Yeah, I'm willing to go out there and jump out of airplanes.
Right, and because you actually flew single-engine planes. You're talking about the Beaver brought back many memories for me. When I was young and foolish, why we had a plane up in Canada. It was a Norseman, which was the one that preceded the Beaver. You used to fly Beavers as well.
Yeah. That was quite an airplane.
It really was. Of course, it still is. It's still the preferred airplane by most of the bush pilots up in Canada.
I flew in one up there in Canada, I guess, about 2 years ago.
Did you really?
Well, yeah, it was kind of nice. It took me back to the old days.
Well, those things have been around for 50 years. It's almost that long anyway.
At least.
40
at
years.
Least.
Anyway, do you have a parting thought before we let you go? We're just about out of time.
Yeah, I think the parting thought is, to everybody, especially young people, I'd like to say, listen, America is a great country. Don't get discouraged. You've got to work hard at what you're doing. You've got to go out and risk things. You've got to take chances. You've got to be in there fighting for it all the way. Nothing comes easy. But in the end, you can be successful. You can make something of your life. You can help your family, your future. You can help your community. Just get in there and fight for it.
No, well, this is the greatest country in the world. What we need to do is take America back. As far as I'm concerned, God bless you, General. Thank you so very much for being with us. It's been a real pleasure.
My pleasure. Thank you, sir. Right.
Bye-bye.
Berkey Security Pack is your one-stop solution for unexpected emergencies. It provides you with purified water, light, power, and communications ability. The Security Pack includes a Berkey Light water purifier, an LED base, two Berkey Sport filtration bottles, the Berkey battery adapter, the Berkey MP solar charger, as well as a backup set of two Black Berkey purification elements. The Berkey Security Pack is important every day and a must during emergencies because it provides purified water, long-term low-energy lighting, backup battery power for your Berkey LEDs, free long-term solar power for communications devices such as radios, walkie-talkies, and cell phones, as well as power for small applications. Get the one-stop solution for your emergency and everyday needs. The Berkey Security Pack, a retail value of $518 for only $399 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
Some people believe a group of wealthy men control political parties, the American media, and the wealth of our nation. Is this true? Dr. Stanley Monteith spent 40 years studying secret societies and subversive movements. He lived in Africa for 3 years, and when he returned home, he studied the writings of the men who shaped the modern world. His book, Brotherhood of Darkness, identifies the people who control the world and the organizations they created. Dr. Monteith exposes the movement behind Rhodes scholarships, the origin of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the myths surrounding communism. He discusses the goal of all covert organizations, so if you read Brotherhood of Darkness, you will learn a secret that has been passed down through the centuries. When you learn this secret, you will understand what the future holds and what you must do to help preserve our nation. Call and order your copy. 877-300-7645. Only $12.95. That's 877-300-7695.
Do you need more than just the constant news of impending tyranny? Yes, this is Elizabeth Border back with the Divided Kingdom, the hour that analyzes spiritual and cultural issues too. Lou Blanchard and I are delighted, thanks in large part to past listeners' lobbying efforts. Now to be on the Great Genesis Communications Network Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Central, formidable Alex Jones says, this is the network often imitated, but never duplicated. Lou and I made the conscious decision to move to GCN because of its classy lineup and leadership. We invite you to hear our program, one we pray will strengthen and bless you. Indeed, trouble is part of the story, but the fellowship of faith surpasses it. Tune in at 6 p.m. Central with The Divided Kingdom.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and I agree with General. This is the greatest country in the world, but it's been taken over by evil and wicked people, the Brotherhood of Darkness, the supporters of the Lucius Trust, and the various occult secret societies and semi-secret societies that certainly dominate our nation today, and whether it be Masonry, a Theosophy, or Rosicrucianism, or the front organizations like the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, and the Trilateral Commission, and the Club of Rome. These people know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want you to know. So if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. You need to watch my talk on the forbidden secret. Certainly you need to see our talk on the planned police state. And we have so much information available. Go to our website and look at the various things that we have, and you can see many of them for free up on our webpage at RadioLiberty.com under the DVDs. But we hope you'll get them and copy them and get them in other people's hands. As long as you're not making a profit on it, you have our permission to copy what we've actually produced. And then, of course, we certainly want you to begin thinking very seriously about preparing for the difficult times that lie ahead. Certainly, our economy is beginning to collapse. The value of the dollar is falling. Inflation is somewhere between 10, perhaps even up to 12%, and could very well go to 15 or 20% by next year, which will destroy the value of your savings and certainly will destroy the lives of so many people, because inflation, of course, is the worst curse. The debasement of currency is the most efficient means of destroying a nation. And believe me, the Brotherhood of Darkness wants to destroy America. Let me suggest, if you have not yet, of course, laid in a supply of emergency foods, you need to, and whether you get them through us or through somebody else doesn't, it isn't as important as that you do something and you do it now. The price of the basic commodities, wheat, rice, soy products, corn, they're really going up. And in fact, in many areas of the world, they are on the bridge of famine, and I believe that the day will come when we will see talk of famine here in the United States. We do not have any massive food supplies. We used to have. Congress has indicated we would always have a large supply of food on hand. But you see, the people who believe in population control really believe famine and war and pestilence are a very, very good way to bring about population control. And it's sort of like Revelation 6:8, where they talk about, you know, and I look and behold a pale horse, and the rider upon him is death, and power was given unto them to kill a quarter of the population of the world through the sword and through famine and through pestilence and the beasts of this world. And understand, ladies and gentlemen, there is a plan that's being enacted today. And if you've not made any preparations at all, you're not going to be able to look after yourself. You're not going to be able to look after your friends. If you'd like a free emergency food catalog, we'd be glad to send you one. But if you have a catalog, don't put it off. Get what you can afford now and start laying in supplies as much as you can. You need to have a Berkey water filter. You need to have some place to store water. You need to have, you know, the things on hand. You need to have medical supplies on hand. You need to have an emergency radio, and we're going to be getting one, a good crank, little crank radio. And I'm quite impressed by the ones we got, just to see if they would work before we would offer them, and we're planning on being able to offer them very, very soon to those of you who really want to begin making preparations. But if you'd like an emergency food catalog, our number 1-800-544-8927. You can get a regular catalog. You can get, of course, my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or the DVD of that, by that name. You can get the talk on the forbidden secret. You can get the talk on the supernatural. That's a four-tape set on the supernatural and the book that goes with it, entitled The Beautiful Side of Evil. You can get the books on the Bilderbergers, or the satanic nature of the Bilderbergers and satanic crimes. They're all books. The Bilderbergers, Bilderberger Diary by Jim Tucker, Satanic Crimes by William Kennedy, and then there's a four-tape set that goes with that one. And understand that these people, these elite, are deeply involved in Satanism. Please pray for America, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.
Do you know where the 78 potentially active volcanoes in U.S. are located? And do you know the locations of the top 300 prime terrorist targets? You can find these answers and more in the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA. With the more than 50 interactive parameters, you can pinpoint natural and man-made disaster areas, brewing environmental catastrophes, the safest cities, the best places for solar and wind energy, and much, much more. Complete with 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of 3,000 plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis to help you zero in on the best places to live, the ideal location for cabins and vacation homes, as well as safe and unsafe areas. Get Prudent Places USA for only $29 plus shipping.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king, but in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and of course the views of our guest. And for this hour, it's going to be Senator Nancy Schaefer from Georgia. And she, of course, used to be a talk show host, and she actually decided to get into the political aspect of this, and she's certainly been leading the battle there in the Georgia Senate to try to get through many of the ideas that you and I would espouse. Nancy, thank you very much for being with it.
Thank you very much. I'm delighted to be with you, Dr. Stan.
Well, why don't you tell us certainly what's going on back there? And it is Georgia, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
All right. What's going on in Georgia? One of the major issues before you, have they brought up the issue of this Real ID Act, where, of course, we're going to force people to have a driver's license that's going to go along with that if the federal government dictates? Or what are the things that you're really concerned about?
Well, we have had some talk, of course, about the Real ID. But one of the issues that's leaning hard upon my heart these days is the corrupt business of Child Protective Services. And I have been involved in it here in the state of Georgia, and started out with just a grandmother whose two little granddaughters were taken from her daughter wrongly and carried to another county, and which was illegal, and placed in foster care. And then the foster care parents told them they could adopt those children. That was 5 years ago. And this grandmother and the mother have not been able to have custody of those little girls ever since.
Well, now, how can they take a children away from their mother and give them to somebody else to adopt?
Well, Dr. Stan, from what I understand of this whole situation, and recently written a report that came out in November entitled "The Corrupt Business of Child Protective Services." And I was involved with this grandmother 3 years ago, so I've really been doing a lot of research on the issue and answering a lot of calls and emails coming from parents who have had their children literally taken from them. And this is the problem. It is the taking of children and the separating of families for money.
Now, of course, the money is coming from the federal government that is actually
subsidizing this
whole effort to destroy the family. Why would the federal government be trying to destroy families and take children away from their parents?
Well, it would make it easier to see the country completely dissolve, wouldn't it?
It sure would be.
If our families were disintegrated. And this, I thought, was primarily in the state of Georgia. I had several counties that, even one county, I had 30 families come together one morning and tell their stories. And Dr. Stan, it was like a third world country. They had not seen their children or grandchildren in years. They had taken them out of the middle of the night. They had taken these children right out of the hospital a day after they had been born. They were taken off the school buses on the way home, and the parents never saw the child again. It was absolutely more than I could believe. And so then I began to interview more families, and more people began to call me because they thought that I was one person that would help them. And with that, I wrote this report, and when it went out, then we heard from parents across the country.
All right, fine. We're going to get to that in just a minute. Are you on a regular phone, or are you on some sort of an extension?
I'm on my cell phone.
All right, fine. We don't have a hard line there?
No, I don't.
All right, fine. Then we're doing fine. We'll just keep right up. We'll be back in just a moment with Senator Nancy Schaefer from the state of Georgia. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Senator Nancy Schaefer, who is a state senator in the state of Georgia. And, of course, she has been very, very concerned about the child abuse industry. And, of course, we're talking about the government agencies that abuse children, that take them from their parents, and, of course, many times even give it out to divorce without the consent or knowledge of the parents. And they use the force of law. And, of course, all of this is coming about because it's being subsidized by the federal government. And do you know a better way to destroy a nation than destroy the families of that nation? You say, well, that couldn't be happening here. That couldn't happen to me. And yet I'm sure Nancy has all sorts of stories from people all across America who've gone to her because she's written about this and tried to get the information out of people who thought it couldn't happen to them. And it did. And they've lost their children forever. Nancy, go ahead and pick up this story. And certainly, how does the federal government subsidize this destruction of the family, and why would the federal government do that? Now, right now, of course, we have new people. This is a new audience, and then we'll have our rest of our audience back in just a moment. But if you want to actually repeat some of what you said, go right ahead.
Well, Dr. Stan, and I hope you can hear me on this cell phone. You know, I'm in Atlanta for the session. We're through in a couple of weeks. And in the little condo where I stay, I only have a cell phone. So that's why that's what I'm using tonight. But it goes all the way back to the Mondale Act. And then a little bit later on, there was the adoption of Safe Families Act, which was put in motion by President Bill Clinton. And at that time, the cash bonuses states were made available for every child they adopted out of foster care. And in order to receive the adoption incentive bonuses, local child protective services needed more children.
Now, of course, what are we talking? How much of a bonus did they get for destroying a family?
They can get from $4,000 to $6,000 for every child they adopt out. Or if it's a special needs child, they get $2,000 on top of that.
All right. So
and Dr. Stan, they can just adopt. They can put them in foster care and then move them from this foster care to that foster care to this foster care and just keep them for such a long period of time. All this time it's bringing in money.
But what about the parents' rights? Can't the parents take this to court and put a stop to this so they can get their children back?
Well, there are some parents that have been able to hire an attorney. I would say, all in all, Dr. Stan, that most of these child protective services, and in Georgia, it's called DFACS, the Department of Family and Children's Services. They target parents. Sometimes they target parents
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Senator Nancy Schaefer, who's on the front lines of this child abuse industry battle. And, of course, let me tell you, if they take your children, you don't have any rights because you don't get a jury trial. You get to go to a special court, a special administrative court, where the judge is usually working hand in glove with the social welfare programs. And I've actually talked to attorneys who've told me, look, there's no sense wasting your time because the decision is already made. Once the social service targets a family, they're going to destroy that family. Save your money. I could go in there with you, and I would not be able to accomplish anything. Ladies and gentlemen, these are lawyers, and these are lawyers who feel very deeply about this, but they realize how unfair these courts are. These are special administrative courts designed to destroy families. And you say that couldn't be going on in America, but you pick up the story, Nancy.
Well, you're exactly right, Dr. Spand. And the families that don't have the wherewithal to hire an attorney or fight the system are usually the families that are targeted. But as you and I both know, being poor does not mean that you're not a good parent, that you do not love your child, or that your child should be removed and placed with strangers. But that does take place. And the caseworkers and the social workers are so oftentimes guilty of fraud because they withhold evidence and they fabricate evidence and they seek to terminate parental rights. And if charges are made against them, then those charges are ignored. I have a bill here in our session, Senate Bill 415, and in that bill, I call for the opening of family court, which would remove that culture of secrecy that takes place in that courtroom. And I have called for the removal of the immunities from child protective services. They don't have to come under any type of reprimand or discipline. They can do whatever they want to do. It's just really overwhelming what is going on in these areas. And Dr. Stan, since my report went out in November, we must have heard from 500 to 1,000 people across the United States. This is going on in every single state. It's just a criminal political phenomenon that is driven by the government, which is supposedly there to protect families.
And, of course, the thing is that I've heard this story many times before, but Nancy, she was one of the few legislators who's had the courage to take a stand against this. And many times these children are put into homes where they're sexually molested. Many times they're put into homes with homosexual couples, lesbian couples, or homosexual couples who molest these children. And nothing is done to protect the children. I mean, this is the most incredible thing. And when you complain about it, nothing gets accomplished. Have you run into that?
Oh, absolutely. Nothing is ever done. We have been in touch with the DFACS departments in every county just about in the state of Georgia, and now we have been calling others across the United States just to help a family that has called. Most families, when they call, they are absolutely so desperate and so devastated. They are emotional wrecks. And one little couple up in New York, the state of New York, called one day at she was so desperate, and she had read my report on the Internet. And she said, "You are the only person I know that has come against this. Tell me what to do." And as we talked, she began to share with me what had happened to their little boy. And DFACS had accused her husband of breaking his bones and just accused him of all kinds of things. And her husband committed suicide because he couldn't stand seeing of knowing what they were going through. And of course, none of that was true. This is just the way they operate. And it is all over the country.
And of course, it seems that there's a special type of person who goes into the social service. Now, I'm sure there may be some good people there as well, but nobody's speaking out against the bad people who many times will contrive a case because there's money. You actually, you know, if you subsidize something, you're going to get a lot of it. If you subsidize social workers taking children away, they're going to take children away. If you subsidize social workers for maintaining families and maintaining the homes, that's what you're going to get. You subsidize people not to work with welfare, you get a lot of people on welfare. You subsidize people going to work, why, of course, they've got to go to work. This is the way the system works. So would you want to subsidize social workers who are breaking up families and taking children away from their parents? And why would the federal government be doing that with our federal tax dollars? Well, certainly, Nancy, as you've looked into this more and more, It must be very discouraging, but what can the average individual do? Let's imagine that somebody listening to this program, they come in there, they say, oh my goodness, this doesn't look like a good home. Maybe you're homeschooling the children. Maybe you're teaching them about God, and the social worker hates God, and they just decide to take the children away because your home certainly is not a healthy one for this child, and they're going to take them out and give them to a couple of homosexuals or to foster parents who will sexually molest them. What can the average individual do when, of course, they've been targeted by the social workers within this within the child abuse industry?
Dr. Stan, there is not really a lot that they can do. They do have some rights, but most families, after they are targeted by Child Protective Services, begin to think that they have no rights. They do have the right to call for an attorney. They do have a right to visit with their child, but most families do not even realize they have those rights. They are completely stripped emotionally, and they are totally devastated and are broken in tears, and so they're just overwhelmed. And what is so devastating about this, Dr. Penn, is that there are state employees and lawyers, court investigators, court personnel, psychiatrists, psychologists, caseworkers, foster parents, on and on and on, and all of these people who make up an enormous bureaucracy are all looking to the children in state care for their job security.
In other words, what you're saying is that they all benefit from this corrupt system,
that's exactly how they make their money. So it's very hard to break into this system. And we're having a hard time breaking into the system. The opposition is fierce.
Now, are you speaking about yourself there as a state senator? You try to get...
No, I'm talking about the opposition to our trying to get something done.
All
the
right.
opposition to my bill.
All right, fine. Well, tell us about your bill. And then, of course, where is the opposition coming from to your bill? What is your bill trying to
accomplish? The opposition comes from those that want to keep it the status quo.
You're talking about the Government Employees Union?
Beg your pardon?
Is this the Government Employees Union, the State Employees Union?
No, it's all of these people who state employees and lawyers and judges and all of these people involved in this system. They don't fit to change. They make money off of this. This is their job security. Is to keep all of these children in state care.
Well, of course, the thing is, if the government didn't have so much money to waste to destroy families, then we wouldn't have the problem. It's because the government has so much money that it can squander on things that are so destructive.
That's exactly right. So where this needs to cut off is on the federal level. The financial incentives on the federal level need to be abolished.
In other words, they get the federal government to stop subsidizing, is what you're saying.
That's exactly right. And, of course, there is some state money also.
All right. Well, if somebody actually gets into this sort of a situation, the children are actually taken from them, and they don't have enough money to hire a high-cost lawyer, what can they do? Can they go to court? Can they appeal these cases? What chance do they have with a judge? How many judges are impartial? How many of them, of course, are going right along with the system because that's where the money is?
Dr. Stan, it's very hard for these families to be able to penetrate the system. Very rarely have I seen parents get their children back. Usually their children are put in foster care. They're put in, they're adopted out, and they never see them again. It's a horrible, wretched system that we have going in this country, and really, it is not publicized, it's not on the front pages of the newspaper, it's in the news, the media completely ignores it, but it's just a corrupt phenomenon that just is going on in every single state across the United States, and really, we've had some calls from Canada, from Australia, from Holland, and from many other countries.
Well, so this is the nationwide. Of course, all of these programs are part of this one world government plan. which is intent upon creating this new world order and destroying the family, because of course the family is the basic building block of society, and you destroy the family, you destroy one of those basic building blocks, that and the church. Of course, they want to destroy the church. They've destroyed our educational system, intentionally dumbed our children down, and they know exactly what they're doing. It's just the tragedy is the average citizen who hasn't lost their children is never going to hear this story unless, of course, you can bring it out. Are you having any luck back there in Georgia getting this information out
to
the
major media? Well, yes, we have. I think my report has brought some changes. Our director here in the state of Georgia resigned.
I'm sorry, what happened to him?
The director of our Child Protective Services, which is called DFACS here in the state of Georgia, did resign.
All right.
And the report has put pressure in lots of areas. The governor has a copy of it, and he has read it, and he is moving and making some changes right now. We also have a case in one of our counties here in Georgia where the supervisor of DFACS department in the county, her son was a pedophile. And he lived in the home with some of the foster parents.
Hold on, we'll be right back in just a moment here. All right, Nancy, you were just going ahead. You were saying that this son... supervisors was a pedophile?
Yes. The supervisor's son was a pedophile.
All right.
He lived in the home, in some of the foster homes, and sexually abused the children.
What was done to him? Was there any punishment for him?
No. The whole story was covered by Child Protective Services. He even had access to teenage girls that were in group homes. And he took them on weekends and had sex with them. He kept one little girl with him for 2 years. All of that was covered up by DFACS here in Georgia. And that story is getting ready to break any day now, which is going to also help blow this wide open.
What about the newspapers? Are they giving you a fair shake, do you think?
No, they have not mentioned one thing.
What about the television? I know when I ran for political office, at least we seemed to get better treatment from television than we did anybody else.
Dr. Stan, I am running for political office. I'm running for a congressional seat next, and I'm in the middle of it right this minute. So if anyone listening wants to send money, they can, because I got into this race kind of late. But I feel that we need more people in Washington that can fight these systems. And I would like to get there and push hard to get these financial incentives on a federal level abolished and protect our children and our families across this country. This is truly devastating to our country to have this many families and children completely destroyed in Child Protective Services.
Well, of course, I've known Nancy for a long time. I knew her when she was a talk show host, and she was always on the side, certainly, of the things that we supported. She's coming from a Christian perspective, and she was willing to give up her profession as a talk show host to become a senator. Now she's trying to get to Washington, D.C. So if any of you want somebody to support running for Congress and you can't support your local person, let me suggest that Nancy... And Nancy, where would the people, if they wanted to help you, where would they send their donation?
It would be wonderful. They could send whatever they would like to send to Nancy Schaefer for Congress. Nancy Schaefer for Congress, P.O. Box 296.
Now, Post Office Box, what is that again?
Post Office Box 296. 296.
Right.
That's Turnerville. That's T-U-R-E-R. V-I-L-L-E, Turnerville, Georgia, 30580. 30580.
One more time, the spelling of Powerville.
It's Turner, like T. T for Tom.
Okay. Turnerville.
Yes, it's the local office that I use close by in my district.
All right.
Turnerville, Georgia.
All right, Turnerville, Georgia. And, of course, Nancy is a...
And the zip is 30580.
All right. Well, if you've got it down, and if any of you would like to any more information on that, why, give us a call. And certainly Nancy's candidacy is an important one. I'd love to see her back in Washington, D.C., where at least you would have, you know, more of an opportunity to get these ideas out and let people really know what is happening across America. This is really one of the most incredible stories, and the fact that most people have never heard of it simply reflects thought control in America. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, Nancy Schaefer, Senator Schaefer, is running for Congress at the present time. If any of you would be interested in helping Nancy, of course, if you'd like to send something to Nancy Schaefer for Congress, that's Nancy Schaefer for Congress, Post Office Box 296, Turnerville. That's Turner like a Ted Turner. Turnerville, Georgia, 30508. That's 305.
No, 30580.
Oh, 30580. Okay, fine. Anyway, of course, Nancy, if she could get back to Washington, D.C., why, she could really shake them up back there. And she's been at this for a long time. I gave up, of course, her position as a talk show host to run for senator, and now, of course, hopes to be able to run for Congress. So do you have a lot of opposition in the primary?
I have two candidates that will be running against me, yes. And but I feel like that we have a strong position, and we can win. I have gotten into the campaign late because I've been an active senator, and our session has been going on. And so I have just come in, but we did a poll. We have conducted a poll. It was favorable. So if we can just act upon the success that that poll predicted for me, and if I can raise the funds, that's what I'm working so hard on right now to do, you know, we could be successful at this, Dr. Stan, and we're just trusting that we will be.
Well, we certainly wish you the best, because I'd love to see you back in Washington, D.C. Our guest is Senator Nancy Schaefer. We're certainly talking about the abuse of the child abuse industry, and something that certainly we've encountered many, many times from desperate parents, and certainly not even necessarily on the air. People will call. They're just looking for somebody who understands what's going on. And of course, we, fortunately, here in California, we have the Pacific Justice Institute. Our good friend Brad Dacus is there. And at least he can give parents an idea what to do to try to reclaim their children. But believe me, parents who do not have somebody to help them, are totally victims to this. And then the children become victims. And it's time and again we've heard of the stories. Once they're put into foster homes, why, they're sexually abused and mistreated, and yet nothing is ever done to the people who abuse the children sexually once they come into the child abuse section. And many of the people, the social workers here, seem to be of a special cut. They're not like regular social workers. They seem to have a different agenda. Have you run into that, Senator?
Oh, yes, we certainly have. We have struggled with that different agenda that's going on. And Dr. Stan, a lot of times when people are calling now and saying, what in the world can I do? Please help me. Please help me. We are telling them, first of all, to stay strong, to not give up, and to fight for their children, to really fight for their children, and to keep good records, a record of everything that's going on. Keep a record with every single paper that DFACS brings to them. Keep up with all of that. Keep up with every single detail. But most of all, for them to not sign a paper. The Department of Family and Children Services and Child Protective Services, as it's called in many places, will try to get the parents to sign a paper saying that they are guilty. They will tell them, if you want to see your children again, you signed this paper. And the grandmother that I started this whole investigation with 3 years ago, that's what they did to her daughter. They took her two little girls, and they said, if you ever want to see these two little girls again, you sign on this paper. And she did not know any better. She was young, she was terrified, and she signed. And the minute she had signed away her rights.
And, of course, this is the thing, that these people are dishonest. They have an agenda. And, of course,
yes.
Whatever that agenda may be, what they're successfully doing is destroying homes and individuals, and even worse, they're destroying those children and putting them in many times into foster homes where they really are abused. And time and again we hear this from frantic parents, and they say, what can we do? And if they're not here in California, where, of course, we can put them in touch with us people we know, well, there's nothing they can do. There's no advice we can give them. There's no national organization. You see, the government is able to finance this whole program aimed at destroying the lives, not only the parents and the families, but the children as well. And then we wonder why we have so many mixed-up children. People find it difficult that this could really be going on in America. And Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and Brian Williams aren't telling us. But you see, they're paid a great deal of money not to reveal the truth, but to conceal the truth from the American people. They do a great job. This is an important issue. We'll be back in just a moment with Nancy Schaefer right here at the Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest is Senator Nancy Schaefer. Nancy, when you talk to the other senators there, the people that you work with regularly, were most of them even aware of this problem?
No, Dr. Stan, they are not aware of it, and it is taking quite a long time to educate people on this system as to what this system is doing in each of our states and across the country. It is a United States district attorney told me recently that Child Protective Services is the most powerful agency in the United States.
Would you mind repeating that? The Child Protective Agency is the most...
The Child Protective Services.
Right.
Like DFACS here in Georgia, and it has different names in different states, but that they are the most powerful agency in the United States. They say you're guilty, you're guilty.
In other words, it doesn't matter. You could go to court. You can't get a jury hearing. You can't do anything about them. If they lie, they have immunity. What sort of madness is that?
It is madness. It is complete madness. And it needs to be exposed. And that's what I'm trying to do as best I can here. Now, I have brought in the GBI in Atlanta, and then we have one person in the media who is getting ready to do some reports on it, which we hope will come out very soon. So we are trying to get more people educated and get more information about this out in the open.
Are you getting on any radio stations back there in the Georgia area?
We have a television station that has a reporter that is getting ready to do a series of reports on this. He will probably begin just any day now. He has been trying to get some of the last information on the pedophile who lived in foster homes. And as soon as he gets that last information, he's going to put these reports together. And Dr. Stan, it will either be a series of reports or it'll be a whole documentary.
Well, I think that the tragedy is, of course, that the media is not on top of this across America. They're not writing articles about it. And I suspect that some reporters know about it, and those articles just are never published. Why? Well, it seems that there's a different agenda among the people who are affiliated with this movement and, of course, within the people within the media who are intentionally, for whatever reason, concealing the truth from the American people. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Senator Nancy Schaefer, and she's just said that, you know, of course, she's been told by a federal attorney general that the Child Protective Service movement here in America is the most powerful government agency in the entire country. The Child Protective Service Agency is the most powerful government agency, and that's why they're immune to any criticism, to any punishment for malfeasance, for lying, for taking children away from, you know, innocent parents and then destroying the lives of the parents, and of course then destroying the lives of the children by placing them into homes where they're sexually and mentally and physically abused. And nothing is ever done to the foster parents, nothing is ever done to the social workers, and the judges oversee this corrupt system, and they're part of it. Well, certainly if you have a question for Senator Schaefer, our telephone number is 1-800-259-5791. I'm sorry, 1-888-24-LIBERTY on this hour. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Give us a call if you have a question or comment. Nancy, how can people get to your website and read this this essay that you've written, this report you put together?
They can go to SenatorNancySchaefer.com.
SenatorNancySchaefer.com. And how do you spell Schaefer?
That's S-C-H-A-E-F-E-R. S-C-H-A-E-F-E-R.
All right, fine. And first, this is about a 35-page report, isn't it?
No, it isn't quite that long. It's about 8 pages.
3 pages?
8.
Oh, 8 pages. Okay, fine. And what basically do you bring out? You bring out the basic things you've been telling us?
Well, I tell about how I began my work in it. And then I talk about the conclusions that I have come to, that poor parents are being targeted, that the caseworkers are guilty of fraud and withhold evidence, that the separation of families is growing as a business because local governments have grown accustomed to having these tax dollars to balance their ever-expanding budget.
And of course, basically, it's because the federal government subsidizes this, and then the state subsidizes it. And
that's right.
And of course, but who's going to help the parents? They're not there to help the parents.
There is no one for them to talk with.
Amen to that. Well, now, what about the judicial part of this, Sidney? I mean, the judges are supposed to be impartial and hear the evidence. Sounds to me like you're guilty, as soon as you get into the courtroom.
You are. You are guilty the minute they pick up your children. Immediately, you are guilty because you end up in family court, which is a closed court. The guardian ad litem, the Child Protective Services, and the judge and the lawyers can all be tied together. And most of the time, parents are not allowed to speak.
You go to court and you're not allowed to speak? Well, what sort of a court is that? That sounds like what they do with a kangaroo court.
Yes, that's what it's like. It's a courtroom. It's called family court. There's nothing family about it. It is a court that is shrouded in secrecy. And this is one of the things that needs to be done. The family court needs to be opened to the public.
Well, now, why would it be shrouded in secrecy? You mean if I wanted to go to one of these court hearings, I couldn't go?
No, you couldn't. It's closed. It's closed to the public. No media can go in. It is closed. It's a closed courtroom, and that needs to be opened immediately.
Well, that sounds like really a very, very strange situation when it's closed like that.
Yes, but it's closed across the country. It's closed in every state.
And so basically this is a nationwide program aimed at destroying the families. And are there any instances, do you think, where perhaps the state should step in and take children away from parents?
Beg your pardon, I couldn't hear that.
Do you think that there are any instances where the state is justified in going in and taking the children away from their parents? In other words, are there parents who really do mistreat their children?
Yes, there are. And I'm not talking about those children. We all know if children are truly being abused, they do need to be removed. But I'm talking about the children that are just being taken, just legal kidnapping of these children from their parents for money.
And the money, of course, is federal money that is rewarded to them. The more children that they can take away from the parents, the more that they get adopted out, the more money that they make. And, of course, then it goes to the local community, and then they can hire more social workers so they can take away more children and send them to homes where they'll be abused. Now, couldn't they suddenly change the law so that these people would not have immunity, so that the foster parents who are molesting their these children or abusing them, and the social workers that put them in there, they would be held responsible for what they do?
They should be, Dr. Stan, and hopefully this law will be changed soon. You know, there was Walter Mondale is the first one to open the door for these federal financial incentives to be sent down to the states. And when he passed that act, he said that he hoped that this would not turn into a business. And, of course, now it is a business.
Well, I think whatever the government subsidizes, why we get more of. And when the government subsidizes taking children away from parents, why a lot more children are going to be taken away from the parents. And
right.
Has anybody talked to Mondale and said, look and see what you've done. Look at the mischief you've created. Do you feel bad about it? Has anybody talked to him? Is he still alive?
I don't know. And President Clinton passed the next act that increased it. So someone could certainly talk with him.
Well, of course, when
these children that are taken are medicated, they get money for that also.
I mean, but you get rewarded for putting these kids on drugs that can affect their minds?
That's right. There are many, many children in foster care that are being medicated, and they get money for that also. They get federal dollars for medicating these children.
Well, I mean, the things that are really going on are just so incredible, and yet if this were being exposed by the media, why, there'd be an outcry. But since the media has chosen not to put this information out and not to dramatize it, why, of course, the average individual has never heard of anything like this. And of course, one of my producers was just pointing out that certainly there are parents who may abuse their children, but when we take them away from the children, are we perhaps many times putting them in a far worse situation?
Absolutely. Dr. Stan, the National Center on Child Abuse and Neglect in 1998 reported that six times as many children died in foster care than in the general public, and that once removed to this official sort of safety that they call it, these children are far more likely to suffer abuse, including sexual molestation, than in the general population.
Well, now, what report was this that you're speaking of, Nancy?
This was a National Center on Child Abuse and Neglect.
I see.
Well, and then, according to the California Little Hoover Commission report, this was in 2003, 30 to 70% of the children in California group homes do not belong there and should not have been removed from their homes.
And so what happened as a result of that report?
Nothing happened. Those children are still there. Dr. Stan, we have gotten many, many calls from California.
I know California certainly is one of the worst offenders on so many things here.
Yes, we've gotten many calls from California from parents that are suffering and have had their children moved and they cannot get them back. So this needs to be changed across the country. The federal incentives need to be abolished on the federal level. And we cannot let up on this for the sake of our children. We have got to keep working and get something done. Get this stopped. Get it brought to an end.
Yeah, well, I certainly agree with you, Nancy, and I'm glad you're on the front lines of this battle. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And, of course, the things that are... the social workers will not go after somebody who's going to have enough money to fight this sort of thing. They will go after the poor people who really would be incapable of fighting it And, of course, then, of course, they're able to get away scot-free.
That's exactly right.
How often, you know, do they actually take children away from well-to-do families? Certainly there's a lot of abuse in well-to-do families, just as much as there many times are in poor families. So, you know, do they take the children away from well-to-do families or just from poor people?
They don't take them away from well-to-do families as often because they can hire attorneys and they can fight the system. It's those without that wherewithal to do that are mostly targeted. And Dr. Sand, I have witnessed such injustice and harm brought to these families that I really am not even sure that reform of this system is even possible.
Well, I'm not sure. I don't think that it can be. I think it ought to be just totally abolished. It is not the function of the federal government.
I do too. And then if states want to do something, they have to start all over again.
The system
can't be trusted.
Well, the thing is that our founding fathers realized that you did not want the federal government interfering in the lives of the people. Matters having to do with life, liberty, and property, and all of these things were to be taken care of at the state and the local level, because they knew if they allowed the federal government to become involved, this power would be misused. For power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And
that's
somebody
exactly
once said
right.
it corrupts absolutely everyone. And if you really wanted to do harm, would you get a job, you know, working, you know, in a small community, or would you want to get a job working in the federal government, where you could use the hundreds of millions of dollars of taxpayers' money to destroy the families across the nation? And people say, who would want to do that? And I would say, people who want to destroy families. There really are people who have a different worldview than the rest of us. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Somebody had called and wanted to know about, what is child abuse? What about spanking? Is spanking child abuse? If you spank your child for being bad, can they actually come and take your child away because you're just trying to discipline that child? Because we're told, certainly in the good book, you know, you spare the rod and spoil
That's
the child
right.
and bring the children up in fear of the Lord.
That's exactly right. I remember a story of Billy Graham when he was preaching one time. He came down out of the pulpit, picked up his son, went out into the foyer, spanked his son, brought him back in, sat him down, and he got up on the podium and finished his sermon. So I don't think spanking a child is child abuse. Do you?
No, I don't. Of course I don't. But you see, what they've done is they've confused the issue. They talk about sexual abuse. Oh, terrible sexual abuse of children. I mean, what could be worse than sexual abuse? And then child abuse. And then suddenly it's no longer sexual abuse. It's child abuse. And child abuse is, of course, striking that child. Sometimes a child needs a good slap. Sometimes they need a good paddling. And when parents cannot do that, and then we wonder why we have crime, why we have so many kids that are so mixed up today, are in revolt against everything. Children have to be brought up with discipline. You never had to train a child to be bad. You have to train them to be good. And if you don't train them to be good, they're not going to be good. And when you put them into a foster home where these children, in many instances, are sexually abused by the foster parents, why, of course, then should you be surprised when you have so many children that really, of course, have so many problems today?
Exactly right. Well, Dr. Sand, our children deserve better.
They surely do.
And our families deserve better. And it is time for us to pull back this curtain now and set our families and our children free. There's a scripture verse in Proverbs that I love that says, "Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy."
Amen to that. Well, of course, who needs this protection more than innocent children who are being destroyed and their lives are being destroyed?
Absolutely. And we have walls of children across the country that we could say they have been protected to death because they are already dead. Many children.
Well, of course,
because they have died in foster care.
Yeah, I know. You said, about six times more children die in foster care than the general community?
Yes, that's right.
All right, fine. Well, now, do you think you're going to be able to get your legislation through the Senate there in Georgia? And do you have anybody?
Well, we're working hard, Dr. Stanton, but we do have opposition. The bureaucracy of those who look to children in child protective services for their job security are against this, you know. They don't want us to be successful.
Well, what about the senators, though? Are the senators, or at least some of the senators, with you?
Yes, yes. We have some with us. So we're working very hard.
All right. Well, we've got Melvin calling from, of all places, Georgia. Hi, Melvin. How are you doing? Hey. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah. Hey, Dr. Stan, and hey, Nancy.
Hello. How are you?
I just had to call you. I turned the radio on and you was on, and I just had to call and let you know I was listening to you.
All right, fine. Well, I appreciate
I'm glad
that.
You did.
And Melvin,
now, yeah, Dr. Stan, she is one fine patriotic lady. I mean, I hold her in high esteem, and I was really instrumental to helping get her voted in twice. So she's one of us, and I'm proud of her.
Well, this is why I'm having her on here, Melvin, because
Thank you, Melvin.
Anything else you wanted to say?
I said, thank you, Melvin.
Yeah. Well, there's other issues that she's addressed now. She's one of us big time.
All right,
and
fine.
Like I said, I'm proud of Dr. Stan. I just want to let her know that I listen to her and I listen to your program, and I appreciate the fact that you love your country, you love the people of this nation, you love the freedom and the Constitution, and you're one of the you just really stand up for God and country.
Well,
I appreciate it.
I want you to get as many people as you can back there in Georgia listening. God bless you. Thanks very much, Melvin.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Let's go to talk to Vernon, and Vernon's calling from Salinas. Hi, Vernon. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes. You know, I just wanted to comment on the foster care system. You know, I was in foster care when I was little.
Right.
My mom had a drug problem, and they straight took us. All my brothers and sisters. She had seven kids, and every last child has been in a foster care system.
Right.
I have an 18-year-old brother, and he's barely getting out of the foster care system. He hasn't graduated high school. He's been started drugs. And, you know, it's a systematic it's to take the children out of the home,
yes.
Literally. So, you know, so we can be the proper role models and discipline the children. And so what this does is it packs the school. I mean, now the schools have a whole bunch of kids that the teacher can't discipline.
Hold that thought, Vernon. I want you to hang on. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, Vernon, go right ahead with what you were saying.
Yeah, and what I was saying is that, you know, it's an attack on the American family. It's straight up. I mean, you take the father out the house. You take the disciplinary tools away from the parents to discipline their children. You know. They're packed into schools. The teacher cannot discipline the child. The teacher is only going to teach the children that want to learn. So this child is going to be pushed out into the streets, gangs. And so, you know, he finds his comfort joining gangs and everything like I did, you know, thinking that, you know, this is the family that I need to be into, you know. And what
right.
this is doing is tailoring them to be ready to go into the prison system. We need new hardheads. The prison system is a business. And
sure
if
is.
Everybody was good, nobody would go to jail. They would be out of work. So we have. So this is a systematic attack on the family.
Yes, it is.
To get them ready so they can go into prison. So we can have a new generation of knuckleheads to lock up.
You know, I think the most amazing statistic is that there are, in America today, 7 million Americans in prison, probation, or parole. And, of course, 1 in every 10 young black men between the age of 21 and 31 are in prison today. And, of course, this did not happen by accident. And it, of course, is a direct result, of course, of what's going on in our society. Vernon, how did you ever get yourself straightened out?
You know, I really had to, I came to a pivotal point in my life where I was in gangs, and God, I asked God, I told God, you know, I don't want to be in, I don't want this life. And, you know, I feel that everyone has that decision that they come where you can stay on the road that you are and you know where it's going to lead. I grew up in South Central Los Angeles. I was totally raised around gangs, drugs, violence all my life throughout the foster care system. And God gave me an opportunity. And, you know, it was hard for me to leave the city and go to a small town like Salinas and, you know, and didn't have nothing, didn't have the big city, didn't have all the glamour and everything, and he gave me a job. And, you know, only thing that I had to do was really want it and trust in him that, you know, he was going to take me out of an environment that I was used to, and he was going to provide something for me. And I thank him every day, because I have more now than I ever had if I was still going to grow up in Los Angeles. And I consider myself one of the lucky ones, because I am a 36-year-old black man, and, you know, I've been at my job 15 years, and, you know, I'd realized where I came from, being in the foster care system, being around drugs, and like I just said, you know, my little brother, he's 18, and he's barely getting out the foster care system. All of my sister, who was in the foster care system, she ran away. She kept running away from all of the foster care system until she emancipated herself.
Where they had Vernon calling us from Salinas, just telling us about his experience in the foster care system and all that.
God bless you, dear.
Vernon, thanks very much. We're going to have to let you go because we're out of
time. Thank you. Thank you, Dr.
Bless
God
you.
Bless
you.
And, of course, we've got a lot of people, you know, out there listening across America, and I'm sure there are lots of similar stories. And, of course, let me just point out that apparently there is an effort here on the part of the homeschoolers to try to counter what the courts are trying to do, actually, to block homeschooling. And so if you are a homeschooling parent, go to HSLDA.org. HSLDA.org and sign a petition for homeschooling. That's HSLDA. Go there and we could have any question, give us a call after the program. Nancy, we're out of time. I'm going to have to let you go. God bless for what you're doing, and the best of luck as far as your effort to get into Congress.
Thank you, Dr. Spann. It was just a pleasure to be on with you tonight.
It's always
Thank
a pleasure.
You.
God bless. Thanks so much. Bye-bye. All right,
fine.
That's Senator Nancy Schaefer, and certainly one of my favorite people, and I hope she's one of yours as well. And if you'd like to help her and you didn't get that address, and of course that was Nancy Schaefer for Congress with the S-C-H-A-E-F-E-R, Post Office Box 296, Turnerville, 30580, Georgia. And if you need any more information, you can go up on the Internet, look up her website, or give us a call, and we'll be glad to put you in touch with her. I've known Nancy for a long time. I'm proud to call her a friend, and I certainly support everything that she's doing. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're involved in a spiritual battle, and why are these things happening? Because there are evil people out there, and many of them, of course, worship another god. And until you understand that there's a spiritual battle going on for the souls of men and for the souls of our children as well, you can't understand anything going on. You need to get our book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get my talk, Forbidden Secret. So to go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. Now you can listen to our radio programs there live 4 hours a day. You can listen to our archive programs. You can listen to our MP3 programs. You can listen to our live feed through the satellite 9 hours a day of Radio Liberty. And you won't get anything accomplished at all, but you'll be able to at least get the information by listening some on all of the various different issues. You can discuss them intelligently, but understand that we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and women and for the souls of our children. And if we don't take a stand, believe me, the other side's going to be victorious. People say, well, all you have to do is pray, and I believe in prayer, but I also believe that we are called to be involved. And hopefully, listen to our program. You'll get enough information that you can join us in this truly epic struggle for the survival of Western civilization, because that's really what it's all about. Western civilization is under attack. People of great wealth are intent upon bringing about a one-world government and a one-world religion and a one-world leader. And of course, this is really what it's all about. Communism is as phony as the $3 bill. It's been financed since inception, just as the Nazi movement was financed from its inception from right here in the United States by these same people. And all during the Second World War, American corporations in Germany were building war materials for the Nazis and from Adolf Hitler that was used to kill our boys. And in a similar manner, during the Vietnam War, we were financing Russia so that they could send the weapons to North Vietnam that were being used in South Vietnam to kill our boys. If you haven't seen my pamphlet, it's inexpensive. It's only $3.95 plus shipping. The Communist Capitalist Alliance, the Communist Capitalist Alliance, you need to get it. You need to get the book.